I am so grateful to have this opportunity to be with you this morning, beloved heart friends, and I'd like to start off by reading a story. And my story begins in Bedford Falls, New York, on Christmas Eve. George Bailey is deeply troubled. Prayers for his well-being from friends and family reach heaven. Clarence Oddbody, Angel Second Class, is assigned to visit Earth to save George, thereby earning his wings. Franklin and Joseph, the head angels, review George's life with Clarence. As a 12-year-old boy, George saved the life of his younger brother, Harry, who had fallen through the ice on a frozen pond, and because of his heroic action, George lost the hearing in his left ear. Later, while working in the local pharmacy, George noticed that the druggist, Mr. Gower, despondent over his son's death from influenza, had mistakenly filled a child's prescription with poison. George stopped Gower and saved him from killing the child and destroying his own life. George repeatedly sacrifices his dream to travel the world. He waits for Harry to graduate from high school and replace him at the Bailey Building and Loan Association, vital to the townspeople. On Harry's graduation night, George, now 21, discusses his future with Mary Hatch, who has had a long crush on him. Later that evening, George's absent-minded Uncle Billy interrupts them to tell George that his father has had a stroke, which proves fatal. A few months later, Mr. Henry F. Potter, a slumlord and majority shareholder in the building and loan, tries to persuade the board of directors to stop providing home loans for the working poor. George talks them into rejecting Potter's proposal, but they agree only on condition that George run the building and loan. Giving his college money to Harry, George delays his plans with the understanding that Harry will take over upon graduation. When Harry graduates from college, he surprisingly brings home a wife whose father has offered Harry an excellent job. Although Harry vows to decline the offer out of respect for his brother, George cannot deny Harry such a fine opportunity and decides to keep full ownership of the building and loan, knowing that this will kill his dream to travel the world. George calls on Mary, who has recently returned home from college. After several arguments, they reveal their love for each other and Mary soon after. As they depart for their honeymoon, they witness a run on the bank that leaves the building and loan in danger of collapse. The couple quells the panic by using the $2,000 set aside for their honeymoon to satisfy the depositor's immediate needs. Mary enlists the help of George's two best friends, Bert, a policeman, and Ernie, a cab driver, to create a faux tropical setting for a substitute honeymoon. The couple embrace while Bert and Ernie, you might be familiar with those names if you have children or grandchildren from Sesame Street, sing in the background. George and Mary raise four beautiful children, Pete, Janie, Tommy, and Zuzu. George starts Bailey Park, an affordable housing project. Potter tries to hire him away, offering him a $20,000 salary, along with the promise of business trips to Europe, something that George always wanted to do. George, initially tempted, turns Potter down after realizing that Potter intends to close down the building and loan and take full control of Bedford Falls. When World War II erupts, George is unable to enlist due to his bad ear. Harry becomes a Navy fighter pilot and shoots down 15 enemy planes, two of which were targeting a ship full of troops in the Pacific. For his bravery, Harry is awarded the Medal of Honor. On Christmas Eve morning, Uncle Billy is on his way to Potter's Bank to deposit $8,000 of the building and loans cash funds. He greets Potter, who has the newspaper reporting Harry's heroics, and taunts him by reading the headlines aloud. Potter angrily snatches the paper, but Billy inattentively allows the money to be snatched with it. Potter opens the paper, notices the money, and keeps it, knowing that displacement of bank money would result in bankruptcy for the building and loan and criminal charges for George. When a frantic search turns up with nothing, and with a bank examiner due that day, George takes his anger and frustrations out on his family. A desperate George appeals to Potter for a loan. Potter sarcastically turns George down and then swears out a warrant for his arrest for bank fraud. George, now completely depressed, gets drunk at the bar owned by his friend Giuseppe Martini, where he silently prays for help. After crashing his car into a tree, George staggers to a bridge, intending to commit suicide, feeling he is worth more dead than alive because of a life insurance policy. Before he can leap, Clarence jumps in first and pretends to be drowning. After George rescues him, Clarence reveals himself to be George's guardian angel. George does not believe him, and he bitterly wishes he had never been born. Inspired by this comment, Clarence shows George what the town would have been like without him. In this alternate scenario, Bedford Falls is instead named Pottersville and is home to sleazy nightclubs, pawn shops, and amoral people. Bailey Park is never built and is instead an old cemetery. Mr. Gower was sent to prison for poisoning the child and is despised and homeless. Martini does not own the bar and is a recluse. George's friend, Violet Bick, is a strip dancer and gets arrested as a pickpocket. Ernie is helplessly poor, with his family having forsaken him. Uncle Billy has been in an insane asylum for many years since he lost his brother and the family business. Harry is dead as a result of George not being there to save him from drowning, and the servicemen he would have saved also died. George's mother is a bitter widow, and Mary is a shy, single spinster librarian. George runs back to the bridge and begs to be allowed to live again. His prayer is answered, and he runs home joyously with the authorities, where the authorities are waiting to arrest him. Mary, Uncle Billy, and a flood of townspeople arrive, with more than enough donations to save George and the building and loan. George's friend, Sam Wainwright, sends him a $25,000 line of credit by telegram. Harry also arrives to support his brother and toasts George as the richest man in town. In the pile of donated funds, George finds a copy of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer inscribed, "Dear George, remember no man is a failure who has friends. P.S. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence." A bell on the Christmas tree rings, and his daughter Zuzu remembers aloud that it means an angel has earned his wings. Before I reveal the name of our story, I would like to read an excerpt from I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams, I Am, I Am, I Am by Thomas L. Pauley and Penelope J. Pauley. The name of this chapter is Detachment. Chapter 11. Once you have written down what you want, you have a new challenge. It is called detachment. We touched on this previously. Detachment is the process of giving up what you want to the universe. You decide what you want, you write it down, you visualize, you get excited, then you detach. You stop caring about getting what you have asked for. That does not mean that you no longer want what you asked for. You still want it, but in your heart, you must not care if you get it or not. If it comes, it comes. If not, be happy with what you do have. Always be happy with your current situation. Unless you detach yourself from the things you ask for, you will not get them. I know it sounds strange. It is one of the most difficult concepts to explain, let alone do. Yet detachment is the door through which you get everything you ever wanted. Once you have had any experience with a 2-year-old, you know exactly what detachment means. Take a 2-year-old to any store and let her walk next to you. What happens? I guarantee you, sooner or later, she will take off running the other way. At first, you take up the chase. You are going to catch that child and grab her hand. But guess what? 2-year-olds are fast and quick. Even if you do catch her, your success is only temporary. That ball of energy will scream and kick until you let go so she can run again. Your little prize is playing chase me. This is not a game adults can win. At some point, hopefully, you learn detachment. When the child runs one way, you go the other and never look back. Bingo! Your two-year-old will quickly stop running away from you. In short order, she will come running back to find you. This is exactly what you must do once you have written down what you want. Turn away, and the things you ask for will come running to find you. You have probably guessed the name of our story. Yes, it's A Wonderful Life, and it is such an endearing story. It depicts a man who has such dreams, a beautiful vision for his life. However, at each stage of his life, his vision must take a back seat to the dreams of others. I wondered about this in contemplating my own dreams. Some have manifested and the outcome has been disastrous. Not as I had envisioned. Some have become a reality and have proven very beneficial to my life's progression, and some are still just dreams. I continue to embrace my dreams, yet detach from them as best I can, because I think this is the one element that was missing from George Bailey's story. God, in his wisdom, allowed some of my dreams to manifest, even though he knew they were not for my highest good. Yet my desire was so strong, and so I learned. I thought about George Bailey, who decided that since none of his dreams had manifested, that his life was not worth living. And there was a time in my life where I had the same question. Alas, in steps Clarence Second Class Angel, who shows him how, unbeknownst to him, that his dreams were manifesting all along, just not as he had envisioned them. I see the opportunity of reading this book, I Am Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams, and integrating its concepts into my life and the support system thereof as my little Clarence Second Class. We all now have the means to understand how to pursue our dreams and yet let God direct our path to prosperity, opulence, and the glories of heaven, whether those riches be friendship, wealth, health, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We strive to have the patience of George Bailey, yet not give in to doubts and despairs. Detach and wait on the Lord and take refuge in his wisdom, his love, his grace. There was a second element that I felt was missing from our story, and that was the law of the tithe. On our path to the fulfillment of our dreams, let us not forget to give, because we know the law, and I encourage you to integrate this wonderful opportunity into your path towards your dreams becoming a reality. On page 96 of I Am Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams, the Paulies state that tithing is the single most important thing you can do to guarantee your success. Let us all embrace and accept that this is indeed a wonderful life and that we are becoming rich beyond our wildest dreams. I am, I am, I am. And I would like us now to meditate on Claire DeLee's keynote, Beautiful Dreamer, and let us see our dreams on a golden escalator to heaven, waiting on the Lord, detaching, and seeing those dreams coming back as that beautiful little 2-year-old child with arms outstretched with a beautiful smile, according to God's will and timetable. And now let us meditate on Beautiful Dreamer.
Are waiting for thee. Sounds of the rude world ahead in the day, lulled by the moonlight, have all passed away. Beautiful dreamer, queen of my heart, list while I woo soft melody. Gone are the cares of life's busy throng. Beautiful dreamer, awaken to me. Bright coming morn. Beautiful dreamer, beam on my heart, dim as the morn on the streamlet and sea. Then will all clouds of sorrow depart. Beautiful dreamer,